Hey, fellas. Welcome to the first episode of Inside the Armor. This is your host, Joe.
Rush.
And Boom.
Grab your coffee, your sports drink, your smoothie, whatever you do, pull up a chair and let's talk. So Boom, Russ, remember when we were coming up and we were talking about what we should bring to the table for the first conversation?
Yeah.
And we all came up with accountability.
Yes, sir.
What does accountability look like for you?
When we first discussed what was going to be our first topic, you know, to your point, what stands out in my mind is why we chose that topic. And I think all three of us agreed that it was the, you know, the foundation of our relationship. And we felt, you know, being the first thing that we kicked this thing off with and the idea of having a strong foundation, we just thought that topic was worth, you know, discussing and is worth discussing.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I needed somebody to get me off the island.
Yeah.
And with an accountability partner, with you brothers, I was rescued from the island.
Amen. Amen.
And you didn't have to swim out by yourself.
No, no.
A lot of sharks out there.
Real talk.
Yes, sir.
Real talk.
Yeah.
Funny, Joe.
So, and it's funny because I was thinking back over it and when we all first came together and you know, we've been doing this together for about 2 years now, but we've been accountable to each other for almost 10 years now, right? What was it, 2006?
Oh, longer than that.
Longer than that.
So, you know, we the relationship has developed and we can count on each other to definitely keep us going, especially when we stray. When we stray or feel like we're going to stray, and I can come to either one of y'all and say, hey, man, you know, this is what I'm feeling. And you just go right into telling me you may be feeling that, but that's not right. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good point. You know, in our ministry, men's ministry discipleship class, one of the slogans, one of the mantras was call before you fall.
Yeah. And
Joe, what you say was key, because if you know you're at that point where you got one foot in and one foot out of yielding to that temptation, you got to make that call. Mm-hmm. You got to make that call. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Yeah. I know when we were talking about, I you know, and I'm always trying to play the other side and question, like, do I really need accountability? Like I remember when I first started it, you know, I questioned myself, do I really need it? And, right. You know, me being, you know, I consider myself a typical alpha male, you know, and being on that island per se, I said, do I really need it? And the answer was clear when I relented to the concept of accountability. The answer was yes. And the answer was yes, if I wanted to grow. So in other words, I could have just stayed to myself and go, you know, I ain't listening to these cats, man. You know, these dudes don't know what they're talking about. Nor do I want to listen to them because I'm my own man, right? That's the thing. Mm-hmm. I'm my own guy. You know, I'm a man, right? I man up. I make my own decisions. But what I realized was through relinquishing it and submitting my spirit to another brother, I realized the beauty of listening and the beauty of growing, you know, through that listening and right. That process of being checked.
Yeah, accountability really is a relationship where you invite somebody in to monitor an area of your life or areas of your life.
Mm-hmm.
I found a great definition from a Christian magazine entitled New Man. It says accountability is like building a guardrail at the top of a mountain that protects us from going over the edge.
Okay.
And running an ambulance service at the bottom of the mountain, just in case.
Just in case. I like that. Just in case. Just in case.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's real.
So the blessing with the relationship that we have,
right,
is that neither one of you jokers is afraid to jack me up. You don't care how much money I make. You don't care what kind of car I drive. You don't care how big my crib is. It's like, that doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
And I really appreciate that. I can get a call from either of you. If I say, man, I'm about to do this, I'm about to do that.
Right. Yep.
You have full reign. You have I'm extending or have extended an invitation for you to get in my grill.
Right.
And that's what it's all about. You know, we are our brother's keeper.
That's right.
Absolutely. That's right. Absolutely.
Yeah, because I can remember like going back when we first started and we were in the discipleship program and we were all sitting at the table, you know, that horseshoe table.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And yes, sir.
I remember looking around that table and saying, man, this joker there, like, I'm not spilling myself to, I'm not exposing myself to them.
Right.
Yeah, I don't know them. And, but when I realized how important it was, when I had that opportunity to share something and you guys gave me feedback that was out of love and caring, then it made all the difference. And it definitely has impacted my life in many areas. We're talking about raising my kids, you know, it was impactful there. Being a husband, it was impactful there. At my job, it was impactful there. The things that we used to talk about, mm-hmm. and y'all guys used to walk me through that so that I wouldn't make a decision that was going to affect everybody involved in my family just because I wanted to do something different. And so that was very important and very impactful for my entire family's life. Not just mine, but my entire family was affected by that.
Absolutely. Yeah, it filtered that. It's funny. I want to piggyback on that, Joe. I'm drawn back to when the class first started, and you know, just for anyone that doesn't understand it, we had committed to a three-year commitment.
3 years.
And I remember it was every Saturday, and it was a one Saturday. I was tired, and I was like, "Man, I'm sleeping." I get a call from our facilitator, Brother Vines. God rest his soul. Great guy. Yeah. But he checked me, and it was so profound because I remember he called me, and he goes, "Russ, where you at?" And I said, "Oh man, my bad, man. I'm tired. I decided to sleep in." So he goes, "Nah, man." He goes, "You got to come better than that." And I remember looking at the phone. I literally took the phone away from my ear and looked at like I'm not going to use the word, but I said, "What?" I said, "Dude, what are you talking about? Like, this is men's fellowship. That's what I say. Like, this is a club, right? It's just a men's fellowship." And then I remember hanging up, and I remember being convicted, and the question that came to my mind was, and I'm being really real with y'all, it was, are you going to take this commitment serious or not? And so through that process, and I made that decision, and I realized that I'm committing to this program. I'm committing to these brothers. And through that check, through that conversation that Vines had with me, again, being accountable to what he is saying to me, because mm-hmm. I was wrong. Mm-hmm. But at the time I wasn't quite there. Cause I'm like, dude, I'm my own guy. Don't come to me like that on the phone, right?
I'm an alpha male.
Yeah, right. But I learned that I was never late again. I certainly never use that excuse again, nor did I ever lie if I couldn't make it.
Right.
Anyway, I say that once you submit, man, to another cat, it's mind-blowing. It really will change your life.
So. It'll change your life, yeah.
I think the thing that really sealed the deal for me as far as you brothers are concerned is the fact that we grew to love and respect one another.
Mm.
And you have to also respect someone spiritually, mm-hmm. that mm-hmm. they can provide that wise counsel.
Great point.
And another thing is that when you guys serve as accountability or just in general, it's not all criticism.
Right.
You know, you have to have a healthy balance between encouragement mm-hmm. and exhortation. You don't want somebody that's going to rake you over the coals. And you guys didn't do that. You guys encouraged me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, now, mind you, I mean, there were times when I know if you saw me in person, you would have grabbed me by the collar and said, "Yo, are you crazy?"
Right.
We have that level of respect. We have that level of openness and transparency that we can do that to one another. And that's a blessing for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. That is.
I mean, just think if King David had accountability before he slept with Bathsheba.
Yeah.
You know, just think about that. What if he had, what if he had a brother that said, now, you know, she's married, you know, you shouldn't go that way. Mm-hmm. He probably had somebody that said, man, you know, she's fine. Yeah, she is fine.
That is
so he needed, that is maybe needed accountability, right?
Right. But that, he had the wrong, he had the wrong influence, the wrong accountability.
That's he
was,
right.
Yeah, you're right. If that was the case, he would have had the wrong Joker talk, that was talking to him saying, man, if I was you, you the king. You know, anything you say goes. Instead of somebody that's in his grill, like you said, Boone, is saying, nah, you got to check this right here, man. Check, you have to check this. You can't do that.
You can't do that.
Yeah, that it, and that's how simple it can be.
Yeah.
You know, when you're talking to a guy, you're like, nah, man, you can't do that.
You can't do that.
And then you have to receive that and say, you know what? You're right. I can't. And I shouldn't.
And I shouldn't.
Man, I remember that time we were all going through bid and going through the program. And I was having issue. I was renting a property. Remember that? I was renting.
I do.
And then came up to a place where it was time to renew.
Right, right.
Vines told me at that point, he told me to talk to the rental company to make sure that I could renew the contract.
Right, right, yep.
And so I was big-headed about it. And I was like, you know, we've been renting from them a couple of times. Mm-hmm. And at the time we were able to pay a year at a time, you know, because I had sold a house before. So I was using that money to lock in for the time. So I'm like, who's going to turn down a year's rent up front? And that's where my thought was.
Right.
And Vines was like, you need to check with him. And so he was being told something that was greater than me. And right. I was ignoring him, saying, no, it's going to be okay. And when it came time, the rental company, the owner, decided they wanted to do something else with the property. And now I was trying to scramble to find some place for my wife and I and my daughter at the time who was at the house to live. And it was down to the point where the movers were at the house, taking the furniture out and putting it in the truck.
Wow.
And I still didn't have a place locked for us to rent. And when the driver looked at me and said, what address are we taking it to? And I didn't have an address for him to take it to. And we were homeless.
Right, right. Yeah.
Man, the look in my wife's eye, the look in Kim's eye, and the look in my daughter's eye at that moment, when I'm telling the driver, I'm calling around for a storage place to put our furniture in. And then we ended up staying in our sister's house for a couple of weeks. Man, you're talking about learning a lesson in accountability and a lesson in responding to somebody checking me and telling me, giving me solid advice, and I didn't take it. Man, that right there was a crushing moment. We were homeless, even though we were staying with her sister, we were homeless for 2 weeks. I had just started a new job and I'm going to the job with my clothes in my truck and I'm parking in front of the job at NIH with my clothes in my truck because I had no place to go.
But the point that you raised, Joe, is key. Mm-hmm. Well, 2 points. Actually, you were open enough to even let Vines in to let him know what was up.
Right. Right.
And secondly, the fact that when we get on that island and we don't let somebody in, when we think, oh, that's just between me and God.
Right.
We don't think that some of our actions, some of our unaccountability, if you will, also impacts our family.
Yes.
Great point.
Yes.
Great point.
And I tell you, man, I never want to ever see that look in my and Kim's eyes again.
Ever. Come on, man.
You know?
Nope.
And I thank God for the woman that she is because we're still married.
Right.
She could have left
his family. Like, I'm out of here.
I'm out of here.
This dude is unorganized.
Unorganized.
I didn't sign up for this.
I didn't sign up for this.
Nope.
Oh man, God is good.
He told my father he would protect me and keep me.
Right. Come on.
Anyway.
That's a whole nother conversation.
A whole nother combo. Yeah.
what that responsibility looks like. Oh my gosh, man.
Yeah. No, good example though, Joe. That's a great example.
All right, so we're gonna pause for the calls, pay some bills. We'll be right back.
Hey, business owners, entrepreneurs, professionals, are you using the right tools for your business? Is your business well enough to go the distance? Hey, I'm Coach Harvey, and I'm a wellness coach, small business strategist. I show you how to use wellness as a business tool to get more clients for your business, no matter your industry. I use big company strategies on a small business budget. Hey, go over and join my email list. Go to coachharvey.now.site. Get the free ebook, 20 things to do immediately to keep you and your business healthy during these challenging times. Also, don't forget to check out my podcast every Tuesday at 4 p.m. The Healthy Side of Business. Don't miss it. See you Tuesdays at 4 p.m. Stay safe and be well.
Hey, what's up, fellas? If you're looking for healthy, thought-provoking conversations on a variety of topics dealing with life issues, be a transparent, open dialogue for men who need a dose of honest, engaging, and heartfelt discussions, tune in to Inside the Armor, airing Mondays at 8 a.m., hosted by
Joe,
Russ,
and yours truly, Boone. We would love to have you vibe with us as we talk about our trials and our triumphs, our messes and our successes. Join us for Inside the Armor Mondays at 8 a.m. Iron sharpening iron, one podcast at a time.
Hey, thanks for vibing with us. Thanks for hanging in there. We are delighted that you are still at the table with us. So we're going to kick this thing off again, talking about accountability.
Yeah, before the break, Joe and you were sharing your example of accountability and if you would have listened, and I just was brought back for me personally, brought back to a couple of situations, certainly within my marriage, being a little transparent here, where I had some, I had to go into the issue because we all have different issues, but it was a contentious issue with my wife. And I remember I called, it's interesting, because I've spoken to both of y'all about the same subject, because sometimes we play tag team, when we have an issue. And I remember venting to you guys, and you guys, both giving me, your advice and what I should do. But I remember one time I talked to Joe about it, Boone. And I know Joe probably don't remember this, man, but I was blabbering on, man. It must've been 10 minutes straight at least. And all of a sudden I said, man, I don't know what to do, man. This is crazy, man. I was mad. And Joe said, you through, Russ? I said, yeah. He goes, you want my opinion? I said, yeah, I'm saying myself, that's why I called you, dude, right? So he goes, I'll never forget it. Joe goes, it sounds like you whining, man. But here's the thing. It was so funny, man, because I remember that I got quiet and I said, whining. And then it occurred to me that Joe was spot on, because the issue that I was complaining about was so minor, and Joe checked me like as a man. Don't get me wrong, I think it's important for men to vent to one another, but the way Joe hit me back was so profound, because y'all know me. I told you guys in the past, hit me, like slap me in the face. You can punch me in the face. Like I'm that's how I'm built personally, because I need that kind of accountability. So Joe checked me like that, Boone. And it was so funny, because I remember like getting quiet and like, man, this cat's right. And so the same and this is real, the same situation has occurred over the past few years. And I didn't call either one of you because I knew based on that conversation I had with Joe that I was in the same posture. In other words, I was whining. And it for me, you know, this is just my personal story. I said, man, take a deep breath, check yourself, realize that it's not as serious as you think it is, and humble your spirit and get back on your horse, right? And so anyway, I think that that is important, because once you have that accountability to another man and you recount those conversations, it helps you in the future. And be honest with you, I've done the same with some of my, you know, brothers who I feed into. I've given them the same type of advice or counsel. And I use that example that I just shared with you guys to say, hey man, we've all been there, you know, but just realize, you know, that's the reality. And so anyway, it's funny now, but I just remember that for me, that was one of my aha moments in accountability. Like, you know, am I gonna listen to this cat? But, you know, when I did, I realized that it was real and it was true and came from a place of love. So.
Absolutely, a place of love. Yeah. Because I have to check myself with my whining, because I do some whining too, man.
Yes, sir.
So the next time your brothers whine, you know what I'm going to ask?
What's that?
Would you like some cheese with that wine?
Cheese to go with that wine.
Come on, big brother. Yeah, big brother. Oh, that's good, man. Yeah,
man, because, you know, there are times when we have to think about what we're going through, right?
Yep.
We have to think about what it is, how impactful is it? I used to tell my kids, you know, being a former firefighter, it was good, but it was dangerous too, in a way that how I raised my kids, you know, they would fall down, scrape their knee or whatever the case may be. And they would come to me crying and they would get up. And the thing that I would say to them, which was a little insensitive at the time, I realize that now, but are you dying or are you hurt?
Yeah.
And they would say, I'm hurt. And I was like, so if you're hurt and you're not dying, then you're going to be okay. So feel the pain, but keep moving. And so now that's what they do. They will feel the pain and keep moving. And so sometimes we have to do that. We have to decide, is this worth the emotional aggravation that I'm going through, or do I just feel the pain or feel the situation, find a solution and get through it?
Yeah. Yeah. That's good. That is good. I can hear someone listening in and sort of asking the question, you know, and listening to our examples, you know, how do I find a good accountability partner? And I was just, you know, thinking about that myself. And I don't know how you guys feel, but I think obviously for us being in a great church environment for us helped, but if you're, if you're somewhere where you don't necessarily have access to a church, what other ways could you find accountability partner? And, you know, quite frankly, and before I answer that question or even ask you guys, I have a thing that I always mention to all of my nieces, because all my nieces date you know, guys, and I always ask them. I said, ask the guy, who are you accountable to? Mm-hmm. And so they asked me, my nieces say, well, what's a good answer, Uncle Russ? And I say, well, a father, a brother, a pastor, an uncle, some man in the community that is, you know, has not necessarily a good reputation, but has a level of integrity and intelligence about him that man can, you know, listen to. And so they always ask me that question. Go, well, what if he doesn't have any of that? And I say, well, all of us as men should search for that some way, because I think most men, if not all men, have access to other men somewhere. You know what I mean? And again, there's churches, there's community groups, there's sure there's fraternities, there's all kind of even mentoring programs. But I think that we should open that up. You know, what do you guys think in terms of other examples of how to find accountability partners? Mm-hmm. Good ones.
Well, you also, I think I may have mentioned it earlier. You want somebody that you can trust, somebody that is spiritual, that can offer wise counsel, someone that's a great listener.
Okay.
That would be willing to pray with you. And one thing that I found great in terms of for someone providing accountability in a certain area is you want somebody who has experienced victory in that particular area, someone who has overcome, if you will, because if they don't really have those issues, then they can't relate.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, good. You want somebody who, if let's say your struggle is gambling, you know, you want somebody who has perhaps had a gambling addiction, preferably if you can find someone that's had a gambling addiction and has overcome that.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know, you don't want somebody that's gonna say, man, I'll meet you at the casino.
Yeah.
You know, you want somebody who has experienced victory in that. And if a brother is honest enough, he'll tell you, well bruh, I can't help you in that area because that's never been my struggle, but I know somebody who can.
Yeah.
So, and that opens up your circle relative to accountability.
Mm-hmm.
Now you've got somebody else, and granted, you might not know this individual, but the fact that the person that you do know, you know him well enough to trust him, that he would not lead you astray in terms of getting somebody else involved.
Yeah, yeah. That's,
that makes sense to you guys.
That's good stuff.
That's good stuff. Yeah. And how I'll add to that is making that first step. So
mm-hmm.
you have to make a decision. Like we had to make a decision
yeah.
that we needed to be accountable. Mm-hmm. Right.
Right.
Once we made that decision, then, you know, it's funny how I know some people will reference the universe. Some people will reference God. Some people will reference other things, but it's amazing how when you make a decision to do something, how doors will open up to meet that decision, right?
Yeah.
So we can sit back and say, you know, I don't need to be accountable. And guess what? You won't have those doors open up for someone to come into your life to keep you accountable.
That's right.
But when you make the decision to say, I need accountability, like the title of this podcast, Help, I need to be accountable to somebody, right? Yep. Make that decision. And then that will open up opportunities for someone to come into your life. And then when they do, you have to be open enough to allow yourself to be vulnerable with them. And like Boone said, I really like what you said about, you know, meeting someone that had the same struggle or similar struggle or knows someone that does. Because if you walk up to somebody and say, you know, this is what I'm dealing with, and they don't have the same, but they do know someone who did, then you're halfway there. And it like definitely that. Helps when you are talking to somebody who can relate to what you've been through,
right,
or what
right.
you're going through.
Right.
It definitely helps. And I can tell you with what we went through our bid pro, I mean, our discipleship program,
mm-hmm.
is each of us had situations that we were experiencing and someone across the table had a similar experience.
Right.
And we were able to talk about it.
Yeah. Yeah. But your decision, you said something key, Joe, but you have to make that decision. So, you know, if I'm listening right now, my big takeaway, well, obviously I'm listening, but I'm talking too, is making that decision and putting that energy into the universe and letting, you know, letting that thought be made known. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's key, man. Make that decision right now.
Yeah.
And I believe that once you make that decision,
mm-hmm.
God is going to be well pleased. And the next step you would do in the next, I think all of us said, hey, you know, God, I'm struggling in this area. He knows, but God, I'm struggling in this area. Confess.
Right.
Own up to it.
Yep.
And I need for you to bring someone into my life that can hold me accountable.
Wow. Accountable, yeah.
Wow. God will move heaven and earth
and earth
to get you somebody to hold you accountable.
Wow. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. I agree. I don't know if you guys remember the what you just said. I have this example in my this example in my mind. So you look at a brick wall, and everybody's seen a brick wall, and you have a brick that is in the middle, and that brick is surrounded by other bricks.
Mm-hmm.
And so right now we're talking about looking for accountability partners. So somebody feeding into you, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that brick, if you're that brick, you want to be, I don't have this all the way down, but I know you want people around you that are feeding into you that, you know, in the case of a brick, say folks that are under you, supporting you, giving you that level of support.
Right.
But then the bigger picture to me is also through this growth process, because I think we already established that in order to grow, accountability is important in your life, some level of it, right?
Mm-hmm.
You now take that knowledge that you learned from that other brick, you know, that accountability partner, you know, give it to another, you know, brother, young person or whoever. And I know for me as a mentor, you know, and I think, you know, I know people are getting to know us, but I have a passion for mentoring young men. And I love it sometimes when I have that moment where I'm feeding into them something that I learned through you brothers. You know what I mean? And I realized that, oh man, this is what it's supposed to be. You're in the right posture, Russell Gordon. You know what I'm saying to myself as I encourage myself sometimes, because through your submission, you are now, you know, now you are, you know, being accountability, you know, partner to another young man.
Right.
And then that can go on for centuries as we all know. So anyway, I just say that's a bigger picture for me, and I love it. I love it.
Yeah, I mean, if you don't confess it, you can't address it. That's the bottom line.
That's the bottom line.
That's it.
I love it.
Man. And I like what you just said, Russ, bringing that full circle, because making that decision to say that I need a accountability, but then making the decision to say that I'm going to help somebody else.
Yep.
And being the count, if you're being a mentor, as Russ mentioned, or being a accountable or pouring into someone who is younger or has less experience than you,
mm-hmm.
once you start to do that, then that makes you accountable to yourself.
Hey man, that's good.
You become accountable to them.
Yeah.
Because now you're telling them something that you have to be practicing yourself.
Yes, sir.
And that'll straighten up one of the vertebrae in your back and make you stand a little bit taller.
Yes, sir.
I'm telling you, man.
Hey, that's good.
Yeah,
that is good. That's good job.
That's a good answer to the question. You know, how do I find an accountability partner? Will become one.
Man.
And you will find yourself being accountable to that person because you have to walk a straighter line, and
yes.
then other things will open up for you as well.
Absolutely, man.
I mean, we're all basically human body cams.
Yeah,
the camera's rolling.
Yep,
cameras
rolling.
And you want to be in a posture where if the footage is released, you know, I don't even have to finish that thought.
right.
Right. And the beauty of it is that footage is continually rolling.
Yes, sir.
So the story, the beginning of the movie doesn't have to be the end.
Right.
That's right. Right. Right.
We don't have to be stuck in saying, well, this is the way I always been. Well, you don't know where you're going to go. I had the opportunity to speak with the young guy at my job, and he was saying that he was interested in another position, but he didn't think that he qualified.
Right.
And I was like, you're basing your qualification on where you are right now. You don't know where you're going to be in the next 5 years, 10 years. So don't say that you're not qualified. You can say, I will be qualified.
I will be qualified, yeah.
Or you work towards that qualification, but don't feel as though where you are right now is going to determine where you're going to go.
Where are you going to go? Wow, man, that's good. I was, when we were talking about the movie, you know, that scenario, I was just a quick thought came across my mind. I said, thank God for the editing power of God. Like, in other words, because I'm playing my movie, right? As you were talking, I'm like, man, that's a bad scene. You know, personally, I'm looking at my own set, right? Because I don't know your full movie, but for my movie, I said, man, oh, thank God I got that was edited. Whew. Thank God that was edited. And when God edits it through the blood, through the grace, through the forgiving, it puts that piece of reel on the floor, never to be rewound, never to be replayed.
Right.
And now I'm fresh and I can move on. I think for me, that's a beautiful, beautiful thing. And I thank God for it all the time, man. That's good stuff.
That's a good analogy right there, man.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
That's a good analogy.
This Bama right here.
This Bama.
Yeah, he does that editing. He leaves it on the cutting room floor. Never to bring it up and remind us anymore.
Right. Thank God. But I want to pick it up sometime, though. I don't know about y'all dudes, but sometimes I want to pick up that film. Like, man, put that film down, man. Stop
you
that.
You don't want to walk back to what you got delivered from.
No, you don't. But if we keep it real, man, that's a struggle I think some people have looking in our past and
and thinking that defines us.
Yeah, exactly.
It doesn't have to. From whence I've come, man, we could talk about those things from where we've come from. Because I still have some areas of that are rough edges.
Yep. Yep.
It's still being smoothed out.
Yep.
But the beautiful thing about it, and I think this is probably the last thing I say on this. If you look at a diamond, right? A diamond has so, what makes a diamond beautiful is all of the cuts and the facets.
Right.
That reflect light.
Right.
So when God is purifying us, or he's creating us, he applies pressure like the creating a diamond, there's pressure that creates this hard, unbreakable connection to him.
Sure.
And then the areas of our life that are faceted, where they will cut it off and polish it. And then when it's all said and done, you may have all of these things that were in your life, but now they're faceted, polished, and they're brilliant. And people can see that light from every direction. And that's how you know that is one pure, beautiful piece of jewelry. And that's a piece of jewelry that God created in us, man.
Yeah. Amen. Amen.
Great ending point.
Yeah, that's a great place to wrap this thing up. So.
Yes, sir.
Thank you for coming to the table. You're part of the family now.
Absolutely.
And we are so delighted to have you, right, fellas?
Absolutely. Appreciate y'all, man. Appreciate y'all.
So if you have some questions regarding accountability, what it looks like, if you have anything that you'd want us to delve into deeper, you can contact us at info@insidethearmor.gmail.com. And for the benefit of our West Coast audience, that's info.insidethearmor@gmail.com.
Yes, sir.